You know, back around we're all familiar with this, around 2008 in March, the present occupant of the White House made the statement that we're no longer just a Christian nation. He didn't say we're no longer a Christian nation. He said we're no longer just a Christian nation. We're Muslim, we're Buddhist, we're whatever religion, you know, happens to float your boat. And then recently at the Ramadan, I guess they have a holy day right there at the end of the Muslims do. And I don't say that to disparage them, but anyway, they had a dinner at the White House. And they were thanked for building the very fabric of our nation and for strengthening the core of our democracy. Well, last Sabbath, August the 2nd, was the 238th anniversary of the ratification of the Declaration of Independence, because we know we celebrated on the 4th. That's when it was all put together. But the actual signing took place 238 years ago last week. Today I'd like to cover, and I know we all know this, that this country, this nation, was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Really, that should be the end of the story, but obviously it's not. We have to constantly defend and stand for what this nation was founded upon and live it to the best we can as Christians. I'd just like to read you one statement from George Washington. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. What I'd like to do today is to cover seven principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And the title for my sermon, and I think it'll fit in as we go through it, is Our Declaration of Independence is Yet to Be Ratified. Our Declaration of Independence is Yet to Be Ratified. The first principle we're going to talk about, and talk about quickly, is the dignity of human life. You know, the scriptures emphatically teach the importance and respect for the preservation of human life. You can just easily go to Exodus 20, verse 13, where it says, "You shall not murder." If people and nations do not grant ultimate respect and protection to both the born and the unborn, all other professed morals and values are meaningless, no matter what they say. They're meaningless. The dignity of human life is not just a principle of the Bible. It is the first principle of any civilized society. Society cannot exist without the dignity for human life. It's amazing what information you can get online. I'll just read this quickly. Won't cover all of them. There's so many. But did you know that one out of every 66 deaths in the world is an American abortion? One out of every fourth death in America is an American abortion. One out of four. Half the deaths in the world are from abortion. Abortion is the leading cause of death in the world. It kills as many people as all the other causes of death combined. There's an abortion clock, just like there's a debt clock. You can go online and look at it while you're looking. It's based upon statistics, you know. But statistically, you can look at it and know what's going on. And it will change. I got on it yesterday at 12:47 p.m., and I was on about 7 or 8 minutes, and in that time, worldwide, there were 81 abortions, because it counts off. I got back on at 12 p.m. Well, let me go back. At 12:47, in the United States, there have been 1,592. 5 hours later, or thereabouts, there had been a total of 2,141. Worldwide, since 1980, there's been 1,344,000,000. More than any other thing in the world, the cause of death in the world. Principle number two, and you can tell from what was mentioned in talking about Habakkuk, this country, and if you watch the news, and we all do, you know we're in serious trouble. Principle number two, the traditional monogamous family. It takes that for society to exist. It has to. For a society to exist, and prosper. It, you know, it doesn't take a lot of research, just a little bit of common sense, know that the plan of God is for man and woman to marry and have children and raise those children to live a life as best they can. Of course, we've all drifted from that and it's only gotten worse. It will get better, and that's why we're waiting on our true declaration to be ratified. But regardless, that's the world in which we live. Preserving the traditional family is vital to the future of any great nation. You know, just like Adam said when he met Eve, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. A man's going to leave his parents, and they're going to become one. And that's the plan of God. And I guess we probably all know this. There's 19 states that have licensed same-sex marriage. The news media, if you watch it, you would think millions of same-sex couples are marrying. Actually, it's only a little over 100,000 plus. You know, we'll call it 120,000. But nevertheless, it's happening, and there's laws are being struck down all the time by courts that forbid this in various states. I hate to even mention this, but I will, because it's the world in which we live. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, there is a homosexual cruising website that you can go to, and it's 13 pages. There's 13 pages of places where you can meet anonymously. One of them is the Home Depot. Well, it's got a picture of it. I went on and looked at it. Home Depot. So, anyway, that's the world in which we live. Very sad. But not to give up. We're going to get to some good news here in a minute. America was founded on a national work ethic. People don't know how to work anymore. Not say people. Some do. I certainly do. Too old to do a lot anymore. In fact, I think I hurt myself painting the other day. So that's how tender I am anymore. But, you know, and I don't say this to put them down, but I've got two grandsons and have never cut a yard with a lawnmower. You know, they just don't know how. People don't. It's not that people necessarily expect things, but now it's, you know, in the past, but now they do. They expect the generosity of others, in many cases, to support them. And those who are very successful are made to look like thieves, which they're not. Really, they produce what they produce because of the ingenuity and hard work. You know, America, it was a spirit that allowed America to create the greatest, strongest economy in the history of the world until recently. And the Bible's very plain. If a man shall not work, not that he can't, but if he won't, then he shouldn't eat. God expects us to do our part as best we can. Principle number four is the right to a God-centered education. Now, we're not going to go back to Deuteronomy, but we know that ancient Israel was to be God-centered in their education. That's the way children were to be brought up. So that when they were brought up, they knew God's laws, they knew what God expected. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the eternal is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the eternal. How can one understand the creation if they don't know the Creator? It's impossible. The answer is they cannot. There's no way to do that. Hence the abomination of evolution that has been fostered upon the kids. I mean, I had it back when I was in school 132 years ago, just about, I believe, somewhere around there. I'd have to look that up. Anyway, I guess most of us know that most of the major universities were founded by Christians. Harvard is the oldest. It was founded in, I believe it was 1636. I'd like to read you the rules and precepts, which stated, this is what word was adopted at Harvard. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And the seal, and I'm going to show you, this is my attempt at, what do you call that? PowerPoint. PowerPoint. And I'm going to do that one of these days. I keep getting promises for a couple of guys in the congregations that they're going to show me how to do this, but nobody has done it yet. So This is the original seal, if you can see it, of Harvard, okay? It's hard to make out. And the reason I've got this circled is there's two books there, and there's one book here. And it's Truth for Christ and the Church. That's what the seal was. The first two books up here are open, okay? You can't tell it really from this, but the bottom book is not open, okay? So what's the big deal? Well, the deal is the top two books on the shield are face up while the bottom book, like I said, is face down. This symbolizes the limits of reason. In other words, there was a need for God to reveal knowledge. Man did not have all knowledge, but they respected that. But sometime, and it didn't say when, the motto was changed to simply Truth. And the seal was changed. And original seal, by the way, can still be found in some of the halls around the campus there, so they say. That's the seal today. Okay. You'll notice the bottom book is now open. Symbolism is we no longer need God to reveal knowledge. Man has all knowledge, or man can find all knowledge. We do not need God. But brethren, we know better, don't we? That is our only hope, is God and the truth of God and the way we live, because we have the truth of God. We know the truth. Not to put anybody else down, it's a miracle, because God called us and opened our mind. We'll turn to one scripture, if you will, as we're all very familiar with it. It's Hosea. Chapter 4, verse 6, what does it say? My people are destroyed because they do not know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to acknowledge you as my priest. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children. And boy, we see that all the time, don't we, in this nation. And unfortunately around the world. But this nation that was founded on Christian principles, not the fabric of some false religion. But that's not what is taught anymore, unfortunately. The fifth principle, Christian ethics, or Judeo-Christian ethics, is the Abrahamic covenant. And we all know what a covenant is. A covenant is two individuals agree upon something, and they fulfill that promise. They don't break it. And Abraham had a covenant with God. We have a covenant with God, but we have a spiritual covenant with God. Breaking that covenant is so serious that, you know what the end result would be if we broke it. That's something we never want to do. The principle of the Abrahamic covenant states that if a person or a nation obeys God, observing the moral truth found in the Bible, that person or nation will be blessed, right? It was based upon obedience and promises. Well, same with us, except our promise, and we don't have time to go on that today, is so much greater than the old covenant, the new covenant is. But regardless, we live now in this world, and Christ has not returned. We have not ratified our Declaration of Independence yet. Book of Proverbs in 14, verse 34 tells us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'd like to read you something. Maybe you saw it. During the 3.5 years of World War II that started with the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, and ended with the surrender of Germany and Japan in 1945, the U.S. produced 22 aircraft carriers, 8 battleships, 48 cruisers, 349 destroyers, 420 destroyer escorts, 203 submarines, 34 million tons of merchant ships, 100,000 fighter aircraft, 98,000 bombers, 24,000 transport aircrafts, 58,000 training aircraft, 93,000 tanks, 257,000 artillery pieces, 105 mortars, 3 million machine guns, and 2,500,000 military trucks. Can you imagine? There were 351,000 women who served in the various branches of the military. We put 16.1 million men in uniform in the various armed services, invaded Africa, invaded Sicily and Italy, won the battle for the Atlantic, planned and executed D-Day, marched across the Pacific and Europe, developed the atomic bomb, and ultimately conquered Japan and Germany. It is worth noting that during the almost exact amount of time, this present administration couldn't build a functioning website. We have lost dozens. We just have. Read you one more. This is the country that built the Panama Canal, the Hoover Dam, and Intercontinental Railroad, national freeways, and put men on the moon, but we can't build a fence. Sad times in which we live, but better times as we know are coming. If you turn to Amos chapter 5 and verse 12. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. So those who are smart keep their mouths shut. And don't we see that today? You know, people are afraid to speak out. If they do, they're trampled, just like it says in Isaiah, they make themselves a prey. For it is an evil time. Do what is good and run from evil, so that you may live. Then the eternal God of heaven's armies will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even the Lord God will have mercy on the remnant of this people. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. There will be crying in the public squares and mourning in every street. Call for the farmers to weep with you and summon professional mourners to wail. If you look at California and the amount of drought out there, it could be catastrophic what's going on. Verse 17, there will be wailing in every vineyard, for I will destroy them all. Verse 18, what sorrow awaits you who say, if only the day of the Lord were here. You have no idea what you're wishing for. Because you don't want to wish for the day of the Lord, brother. And what you want is protection, and we'll get to that. That day will bring darkness, not light. In that day, you will be like a man who runs from a lion, only to meet a bear. Escaping the bear, he leans his hand against the wall in his house and is bitten by a snake. In other words, there's trouble on every side. There's no place to go for safety unless God is with you. Let's turn over to, and let's just see what God says for us. Back in Psalms chapter 91, verse 6. 91 verse 6, it says, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. And we've got a lot to worry about, think about, just like Dr. Oz mentioned about the Ebola virus. Who knows what's going to happen there? Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, young and old alike. You know, it says in Isaiah 3, verse 4, I won't turn it, I just got it printed out. I will make boys their leaders and toddlers their rulers. And for y'all that have young kids, you never know what a young child's going to do you? You just, right? Am I right? Same with thy leadership today. You never know what they're going to do. It's so sad. But that's what we have today. But not for us in the church, brethren, because God has a plan, and we're part of that plan. Principle number 6, common decency. Should be true of a nation. It should be true of the church, God's church. Simply put, this is a belief that a decent nation is made up of decent people. And a church as well should be made up of decent people. Are we perfect? No. I won't ask for a show of hands, because I know what the result. Sorry. Oh, mate. I love coming to Beaufort. We're just a family over here, as well as Atlanta, that's for sure. But, you know, you're kind of closer here. Oh, don't do that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Here we go. Romans chapter 13. And verse 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. The day of our ratification of independence is going to soon be here. So remove dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on shining armor of right living. That's the way we're to be. And if we sin, we repent and go to God for mercy. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to exemplify, isn't it? As best our ability through God's Holy Spirit. Yield to Him and exemplify. Let people know by the way we live and act and treat them that, yes, we do have God's Spirit. We are forgiving people. And don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Because what happens? You do, and it'll bear fruit. The wrong kind. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. We'll just read one verse. It says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. That's the way we're to live. That's the way we're to treat each other as best as we possibly can with God's help. I don't know, probably a lot of people here, the younger ones, won't know who George Washington Carver was. I don't know, probably don't teach that in history books anymore. And he was a black gentleman, inventor, and should have really written down more information. But someone asked him one time what the secret to his success was. He said, how are you so successful? He said, the secret to my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Proverbs 3:6. Good way for all young people to live by. Also in Matthew 22:39, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you do, then what happens? Nobody would hurt anybody, would they? But anyway, that's not the world we live in, but it's the world we'll have someday. Final principle is our personal accountability to God. You know, perhaps the greatest restraint against acts of evil toward others is the knowledge that someday we'll stand before God. Obviously, there's millions of people in this world that do not believe that, or don't know that, or don't understand it. Just look at what's happening with ISIS over there. I haven't seen the pictures. I really don't want to. But, you know, they're talking about beheadings and just cruelty beyond imagination. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they want to bring that life to this country. I don't know that they'll ever be able to get away with it, but hopefully not. But it's just unbelievable. The great statesman Daniel Webster was once asked, "What is the most sobering thought that ever entered your mind?" And he quickly responded, "My personal accountability to God." And we are, brethren, aren't we? We're personally accountable to God. You know, judgment is on the household of God now. Let's look at Galatians 6. No, did I read that? Galatians 6, verse. Yes. Galatians 6, verse 7. And I believe we'll finish just about right on time. Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Just like a farmer, you know, he doesn't plant corn and expect cantaloupes. "Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature," because that's what it's going to produce. It can't produce anything else. "But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit," or from God. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. "Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to the family of faith," especially to God's people. That's the way we treat each other, whenever we have the opportunity. I'd like to read what John Adams, the second president of the United States, said. He was also a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged to conscience, to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity toward his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be if this was the only law book that we live by, instead of the, how many ever, hundreds of thousands of pages we have." Let's turn to, got two final scriptures. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." So that's what we have to look forward to. One final scripture. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, or turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." It's impossible to try to visualize and know exactly what we have to look forward to. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Just a glimpse. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So you can't know what somebody else is like. You can't judge somebody else. You don't know. Only God knows. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit that we've received. Not that. We used to have that. At least I did. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. That's how we know, brethren, through his Spirit. You know, I said earlier that the Declaration of Independence anniversary was 238 years ago. Ours still remains, our anniversary. Our Declaration of Independence is yet to be ratified, and that will happen when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, and probably not in the too distant future, the way things look. But regardless of when that is, we need to be ready no matter what. Hope you have a nice rest of the Sabbath.